The Bible speaks about us. Paul wrote, he said, quit ye like men. And as the young adults were singing this morning, I had this little thought ran through my mind that when Karen and I came here, some of you were children. And now you're grown, you're adults. And we thank God for your strength in the Lord and your love for God. Just continue right on. Thank the Lord for that. John, who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he said, I write to you, young men, because you're strong. And young people, young adults, have a strength and a possibility that maybe has, some of us has moved on past that age bracket. And maybe those possibilities and strengths are not as acute as they once were. But we thank the Lord for those songs. And I think about that word survey, how important it is that God has given us the ability to survey. America, one of the first things that took place in the settling of America was a survey. And till this day, most of those old original surveys are still honored. And they're still in effect. And they became boundaries and landmarks and section lines and state lines and etc. that we still use today. The ability to put things in its proper place and to survey is a very important part of man's intelligence and our spiritual hope. And maybe that thought will mesh in with what we have to talk about today. I'd like to begin telling you a story that I've already said before, but it impressed me many years ago, and it still impresses me. There was a couple who had two sons. And those sons were still at the energy age, maybe right around puberty, somewhere right in there. And the father worked, had a job, and he came home at basically a certain time every day. And one day, that father didn't come home at the appointed time. And maybe it was more than just 10 minutes late or so, but it was noticeably late. And the mother was somewhat apprehensive and concerned. This was in the days before cell phones. And finally, the two boys were out front looking for the dad to come home. And finally, the dad came driving up in the driveway. He had got detained some way. He was okay. And one of those little boys, or young boys, just started jumping up and down and ran out to meet that father and was just, you know, showing his emotions, his feelings, his exuberance, his happiness. And the other boy was kind of sitting there on the steps, porch, and sober and reserved and not showing any emotions. The father came on past him and tussled him on the head and said hi and called his name and went on in. And the mother was a little taken aback by that second boy's actions. And later on, she said, and called his name, said, your brother showed such gladness and emotions that your father was home safe. And you seemed to be rather sober and maybe wasn't so much noticing what was going on, or that your dad had come home safe. Is there something wrong? And he said, no, Mom, said, there's nothing wrong. I was great. I mean, I just was so glad to see Dad. But I was thinking about, what if my dad never came home? And I thought about that story a lot in my life, about the value of people, the value of God, and how we need to treasure those wonderful things that we have presented to us in life. That little boy, young boy, was thinking. And no doubt he was thinking about all the things that he would have missed or the things that he would miss if his dad never came back home for whatever reason. His love was as great, but it just took a different dimension that particular day, a different direction. I think it does you and me good to reflect on the cost and the value of our treasures in this life. Not only temporally, most of us are pretty careful to do that, but those things that are sometimes intangible, that cannot be put in a bank somewhere, cannot have a deed so it's written out for their ownerships, but yet they're the deep things and they're the valuable things. The things that you and I count on when we need help that all these physical things cannot give us. I'd like us to think today about what is our treasure and where is your treasure today. Often in the Bible and in preaching, we speak a lot about the heart of man. And rightly so, because the heart is the source of the issue of life. It is the seat of so many things about us. But in thinking about the message today, I got to thinking, and we're going to read some scriptures, I believe, that will back this up. Right along with the heart, there's another element that has governorship of the heart, and that's our treasures. As vital as our heart is, as vital as a pure and a holy, a clean heart is, when we begin to search the scriptures, we'll find out where we place our treasures, our values, and what we esteem, and where our affections lie, and what we desire, we'll find something that those very things govern the most important part about us, and that's our heart. The Bible said, out of the heart, said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In Matthew 12 and 35, speaking here of the heart right now, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil out of evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. The heart is directly the content of the heart, the purity of the heart, or the lack of purity thereof, is directly connected to what we value, what we esteem, what we count as a treasure, what we reach out after. And I know we could turn this around and say our heart directly affects what we treasure. And there's nothing wrong with that statement either. But now let's go on a little bit. When you think about the heart of man, this is what the Greek definition for the heart as concerning the spiritual man is concerned. Here's some of the definitions. It said it's the seat and the center of spiritual life. So that's our heart. Now, whatever affects the heart is important. If I find there are things around me, things in my life, things that have a governorship over my heart, then I need to survey that thing. I need to look at that. I need to find out what kind of influence it is having. Whether it is esteemed only of me, or is it esteemed of God also? Is it important to the good of mankind, or only to my selfish interest? Is it something that God values, or is it something I have placed a vain value on? My opinion, my ideas, all those things can be treasures. But Lord, help us to look and see what God places on those things that you and me value. You know, we all know people, and maybe you or me are numbered among those that put value on strange things, things that have really no monetary value, and maybe they don't have any sentimental value as such, but for whatever reason, we accumulate it and we keep it and we begin to defend it. Another definition for the heart, as the Greek would say it, it's the soul of man, the center of the soul of man, as it is the fountain and the seat of all thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affects, purpose, and endeavors. So there's motivation that comes out of the heart of man. There is purpose that comes out of the heart of man. There is direction that comes out of the heart of man. There's words that come out of the heart of man. Okay? It is the center of understanding, the faculty, and the seat of the intelligence. Anything then that affects your intelligence, literally, is important. What do you treasure in education is important to what you will eventually learn and put importance on. If you value foolishness, you're not going to study the three R's too well. If you value rebellion and being obstinate, you're going to have trouble learning how to conjugate a verb. Because you don't treasure English, but you do treasure basketball. You're going to place your, and that's going to affect your heart. That's going to affect what you become and how you become. I know, again, we can turn this, but we're talking today about what do you really value? What's important to you? It is the center of the will, the heart is. It's the center of one's character. The issues of life come out of it. Well, I read all of that and I thought, yes, that's all true. And then I added what I felt like the heart could be also. It's the energy, it's the motive, it's the impetus for life. It's where we come from. It's what motivates us. It's what puts us forward. It is the impetus for life, and its thinking, and its actions. So all that comes out of something not abstract over here, or some book over here, or a computer screen here, but life itself radiates out from the man, the heart of man, the true man. Now that man, every one of us have things that we treasure, things that we set our affections on. Each one of us have appetites. Each one of us has things that's important to us, and we classify them. And I read the other day a little question, and you've heard the question, probably been asked it, and you ask it yourself. If your house caught on fire, what's the one thing you'd want to get out? You know, everybody's probably thought about that before. We categorize things that are important to us, and we differentiate between those things. And we'll prefer one above the other. One thing that I enjoy more than another thing, I will place that first one up. And if it comes to whether I get chocolate ice cream or golden vanilla, I'm going to choose chocolate. I like them both, but I prioritized them, and I like chocolate almond the best. That's what I'm going to say. Well, if I just can have one, this is what I want. So what we treasure, if you follow me this morning, governs what our heart is. Or a lot of it, anyway. Now listen to this. I want to back this up with Scripture. Matthew 6 and 21. Christ said this, or it's recorded in two places. But in Matthew 6, 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where our treasure is, there's going to be where our heart is. It's what we're going to dedicate ourselves to. That's what we're going to give ourselves to. That's what is going to mold and shape our heart into the person we have become. And when the choices have to be made, what's important to us, what we have treasured, is going to be what governs us, what has precedence in our life. I want you to think about that a little bit, because there's nothing wrong with treasuring things. There's nothing wrong with placing value on things. We should do that. But it's important that we also have another set of instructions, if you will, or another guide that supersedes everything, and that's the Word of God. He, God, through His Word and through His Spirit and through the love and the blood of Christ, should have a dominion in us that when I go then to survey myself, when I go to survey my affections, that there can be an objectivity not based on the flesh and what I inherently like or feel or dislike, but there needs to be the authority, and I must grant this to God, the authority to, when I survey, you survey yourself, that above all my feelings, all my treasures, I treasure Him and value Him and allow Him then to set in order my priorities as to what I treasure. It's not hard, but yet it's complicated in a way. There's more than one force working in this thing. There's the nature of man. Then there's the appetite of the individual. Then there's the will of God. Now, God does not take away our likes and dislikes per se, but He wants to override and have authority in there. And those things that are unlike Him, ambitions, emotions, feelings, affections, He wants us to grant unto Him the authority to survey that with us and pronounce judgment on it. And judgment can be good. He can say, well done. That's judgment. Or He can say, get rid of that thing. That's not right. Our treasure. Sometimes we assume a treasure is something that just fits my flesh and I enjoy it so much. And we don't take it to the Lord. We don't take it to God. And we don't look at the consequences of, what if I set my affections on this one thing? Where's it going to lead me? What's going to be the end of it? We're speaking somewhat in generalities because treasures can be such a wide gamut of things. They can be another individual. And we can set our minds and our hearts on an individual. It can be money. It could be tangible things. It could be the vanity of our own mind and my own importance. And I treasure that. I treasure my good looks. I speak in a general sense there now. I treasure these things. I have built them up in my mind. And now they're important to me. And then they begin to work their work in my heart as the Bible said they will. Would we not be wise then, if we're here to be stewards and to please God, is to look and survey ourselves, survey our life, and survey our thinking. The things that I have noticed in my life, and I know there are more, about treasures, things that we value, is that one will protect and defend his treasure. You'll do that. You can't help it. It's your treasure. Oh, you may get someone with a stronger arm and a bigger bomb than you and make you come into subjection, but the minute you get a chance, you're going to take your treasure and you're going to run. You're going to defend that treasure. You're going to protect it. You're going to care for its safety and its well-being. Whatever we place a treasure in, the Lord speaks to us in the Bible in fifth chapter of Ephesians about how a man should give his life, his body, for his family, for his wife. It's his treasure, see? It's something that is extremely important to God and to man. Therefore, a man shall leave, God said, his father and mother. Why? Because of the treasure of the institution of marriage. A true husband who has placed the proper importance and value and treasures that relationship, he's going to do all he can for the protection and the safety and the well-being of that marital relationship. It's a treasure, see? It's a treasure. We can take that same treasure or same thinking and apply it to something that's not so noble. But yet people treasure those things. What we treasure, we're going to follow after it. We're going to pursue it. We're going to look for it on every occasion, and we're going to try to gain some more of it, whatever it is. Could be attention. Could be my opinion. Could be afflicting inflicting my or your will on someone else, to be domineering, to be the top dog in this thing, my home, on my job, and wherever. And we're going to pursue that. It's going to become the underlying motive and the impetus of our life. I cannot be second. I cannot be third. I must be first. My opinion must supersede everybody's, and everybody must listen to me. Now, we can learn to disguise those things, but if it's our treasure, we're going to be following after it. And we come to a place in human relationships where I can subtly inflict my purpose and my treasure and gain more. And people do those things, called cunningness, craftiness. People who, we all rather, have treasures. And people will sacrifice for treasure. It's just natural. If it's important to us, and the Lord spoke to us through Paul, and he said there needs to be the right purpose in sacrificing for treasure. One, it needs to be the right treasure. Secondly, it needs to be done out of genuine love and concern. And not a self-love, but a love for the Holy One. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I have become the sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You know, people have gained much through loving something so much and so treasuring it so intently. They sacrificed everything and every commodity and every relationship to gain it. And they gained it. They got what they wanted. They got the brass ring. They won the crown. But it came at a terrible cost. They lost everything else. It has become then sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It's just nothing, you know. And that's it. Soon the sound is gone and now I am left with nothing. What we treasure. We want it to have a lasting quality to it. We want it to have a lasting influence today and on into eternity. People who have treasures, they won't misuse it. Husbands, if you love your wife, then treasure her. Wife, if you love your husband, then treasure him. You'll not misuse that. We'll not misuse anything that we treasure. Oh, be careful, be careful. You know, we teach the children, be careful, little lips, what you say. Did you know if we treasure another person as we should, we're going to guard our lips. We're going to be real careful with what we say. If we value someone else and esteem them highly and count them as very precious and a needful person in my life, we're going to take the utmost care of that relationship. We're not going to treat it and misuse it. When someone treasures something, they value it above everything else. Lovest thou me, Jesus said to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You know, folks, that's a good question. We ought to just get the Bible out periodically and sit down before the Lord and kneel down before the Lord and say, Lord, do I love you more than whatever? Do I love myself more than you, Lord? I want to survey my affections because my affections govern my heart and the heart is who I am. And my heart is going to go on and give an account. And I'm going to give an account of the deeds done in this body. I want all the influences that influence me, Lord, to be in accord with you because I'm going to give an account of you. And folks, our treasures, they influence us. What we value, if it's making money, folks, it's going to govern you. Can't help it. It's just the way it is. If having it my way, or if being kind and generous and helpful to someone is your treasure, to see someone else benefit above you and to esteem them highly, you're going to follow that pathway and it's going to govern your heart. So I think today it does us all good that, Lord, do I love you more? Or do I love you a little less now? We alluded to this, but one's treasure will have authority and or a discipline, a associated with it. If I'm to maintain something, whatever, there's a discipline of how to do that. There's a proper and an improper way. Whatever you treasure today, you're associating that some way with its authority that it has and the discipline that's necessary to take care of it. Did you know it's hard, it's difficult and sacrificial to protect a treasure, true treasure. And if you really love something and value something, then whatever the disciplines that are required or necessary, you're going to do that. If raising children to serve the Lord is a treasure to you, did you know you're going to have to discipline yourself as much as you do your children? Sure you are. It's a sacrifice and a discipline that goes with it. The Bible said, lo, the children are a heritage of the Lord. If a good marriage is more important to you than you getting your way all the time, you're going to have some discipline in your life because of that. If going to heaven is important, you're going to have some disciplines in your life associated with maintaining that treasure, keeping that treasure. So it does us good. What is really valuable to me? What is really important to me? I believe with treasures, we put parameters around them also many times. They're not going to be violated. So far, but no further. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And I'll go down to the store, maybe in the mall or the men's store somewhere. Penny's or Sears or wherever, and Dillard's. And I'll buy my clothes there maybe. But there's parameters concerning dress that I won't violate even though it's there and accessible to me or to my wife. In other words, there are places that we can't cross. We can't go beyond. It'll violate the trust. It'll violate the treasure. It'll violate the importance of what I have placed on this. And it's sacred. It's clean to me, and I want to keep it that way. Think about your treasure and how important it is to you. To what lengths people have gone to keep their treasure untouched, unpolluted. You hear stories of people who maybe were caught in the Holocaust going to strange extremes to guard, putting their jewelry and bread crumbs and swallowing it. Anything to protect what little bit of valuable something you had there. Another thing that's important about a treasure, and I think this maybe touches on us as people as much as anything, one will be willing to adapt or be willing to change for the sake of one's treasure. The Lord spoke about Israel in different times, and He said, you have become like an adamant stone, hard as flint, unbending, not able to be molded and be clay in my hand. You've become as an adamant stone. Folks, there are things in life that are so valuable, I need to put my life, my views, my opinions on the table and say, I can change. If something I am doing is causing disharmony in my home, I better not treasure that idiosyncrasy or that habit or that trait or my right to exercise it over the treasure of my home. Think about it. If I truly, truly, truly treasure something, I'm willing to change for its sake. And you can place that on anything, but especially God, especially salvation, especially going to heaven. If I don't want to lose it at any cost, then I'm willing to change. I may not understand it, but I'm willing to change for the sake of something I treasure. I hope today, and I know we do, All of us have a treasure. Something that's more important to us than something else. And we have probably prioritized those things into their significance and into their importance to us. Over in third chapter of Colossians, and like I said, when I speak of treasures, I like to think about good treasures. But the Bible speaks about evil treasures. But the fact remains, they're still a treasure. Did you know treasures can be subjective? Colossians, the first, third chapter is where we're going. But think about this. Treasures can be subjective to the person. And what you might treasure doesn't mean anything to me. We all have them. We all are going to have them. But Lord, help us to let the Word of God have preeminence over that which we treasure. And allow ourselves to be changed. Brother Clifford Wilson, one of his advice, some of the advice he gave, one piece of advice he gave to all, I suppose. But he would say this, guard your affections. Guard your affections. Guard what you count as a treasure. Guard what you put the most importance on. The reason for that is, where we set our affections, we're also delegating and giving over to them authority in our life. When I place a value on something, I'm giving it a certain degree of authority. Relationships between a young man and a young lady. We need to be extra careful. Y'all need to be extra careful. But us old folks too, need to be extra careful because Brother Clifford would teach this, and it's true. History's proved it. When you let your affections go out, the rest of you is not far behind. You're going to go that way. You're going to do that thing. 99 times out of 100. So, here's what the man of old wrote to us in Colossians, the third chapter. Let's read the first 10 verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, who is our life, Christ who is our life, our treasure, the valuable one, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Considering this, he said, because of this, mortify. Therefore, your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He said to us, bring your affections under subjection. Have a higher goal than just this life. Have a higher goal than personal, fleshly happiness. Set your affections up where it's eternal, where all of this will be but a vapor and as a tale once told, and it'll pass swifter than the post, and then it'll all be over with, and we'll be like the leaf and the beautiful flower. We'll fade and go to our long home where Solomon wrote about. Set your affections on maintaining a relationship and your heart purity whereby you can gain the most valuable of valuables. If we set our affections here below, then the reward is here. Jesus said if we do things to be seen of men, that's it. We got it. We got our reward. But he said, Don't do it to be seen of men. Do your acts of righteousness to be recognized of God. Do them in your closet. Do them in your secret place. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, but you'll have rewards that far exceed the applause. To reveal to us the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. Then we're going to see those things of earth. There's a song that says, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His wonderful love, I believe. But they begin to lose their glow. And the things that God values begins to escalate in our thinking. Lord, help us to set our affections not here, but set our affections on things above. And God has a governorship on what we want to allow in our life here and set our affections on. The Lord has a proper relationship for a man to love his wife. And He expects it to be carried out in a way that He can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The Lord has a way for us to place importance on our children and let that govern us so He can say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The Lord wants us to value Him. So as He surveys us and as we hear His voice, that's paramount. That's it. That's the zenith, the height. We can't get any better than that. And that becomes our treasure. Friendships. Where would we be without a friend? Where would we be if we were cold and calloused and all alone? God, help us. Did you know I have a part to play whether I have a friend or not? Whether I have associations that I can go to and counsel them, or they can counsel me rather, or I can go to them and say, help me, and feel an empathy from them for me instead of just a duty. I need to treasure them beforehand. We need to count one another valuable before the crunch comes. We need to count each other important before we ever truly get in a place where I got to have someone. Value ahead of time. We have a part to play. We have a big part to play. So He said we need to recognize there are certain things about us that's going to hinder you and me being happy. You and me being fulfilled. And He said if we placed our treasures on other things, we live today and really and truly, we say that all the time, preachers do, but folks, it really hadn't changed, it's just more evident, and that's the difference. The lasciviousness and the fleshly lust, people are centering on that. It's governing their lives. Yesterday, we were in my son's house in Bixby, and so he was coming home, coming down through Sepulpa. And there was a parade, Christmas parade, country Christmas parade, little country town parade. So we was going to have to detour, so we decided, well, let's just get out. So we parked the car, and we got out and watched the parade. And it was a rather nondescript, you know, Christmas parade, Santa Claus at the end and all that, you know. Rather nondescript. But toward the end, there was this convertible came by, all polished. You know how they do in parades. Had always have a man driving it. Then they had these two young ladies sitting up on the back of the seat there. And they, you know, waving. They weren't waving too vigorous because they was cold. And let me tell you why they was cold. The way they was dressed. What do you call it? V-neck and no back. What a price for vanity. What? 40 degrees, wind blowing, because it's Oklahoma, see, and short sleeves, you know, rather short. V-neck. But vanity was a treasure, and that was important to them. It cost them. the folks. I'm not going to tell you what I saw as far as my those poor ladies. They were miserable. They had to be. You know why I know? Because I'm a human being. And you start taking my clothes off in 40-degree windy weather outside from under the shade and outside of the heat, I get cold. And I got a feeling they did too. But do you see, something was a treasure there, and they were willing to be miserable for it. Did you know sometimes we as people value something so heavy and so high, and we get it, and we're miserable in getting it. When we got it, I would imagine those ladies was thinking, are we at the end yet? And they were at the end, and we were at the end, so the parade had to go way on around a couple of corners. So they weren't home yet. But that just shows us what we value, how it governs us. It caused them, now I'm not belittling those young girls, just the way the world is. But it caused them, and I'm not speaking against them, bad or ugly, to violate the Word of God in the way they were dressed. But it was a treasure. And when they were called on to ride in the back of the parade because you're cute, you know, these were teenagers, maybe 20, you're cute, we want you in the back of our car. Oh, I'll do it. Well, here, this is what we want you to wear. Okay, I'll do it. Because they valued something more than creature comfort. Just an illustration. Lord, help us today. God called us to mortify some things. Some treasures maybe today you're holding. And maybe God's saying, I want you to mortify that thing. I want you to put it under subjection. I want you to die out to it. He said, for the things that sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these things, wrath, I'm going to get here on the right line a minute. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image, after the person of, the description of Jesus Christ, or him that created him. The Lord told us, we're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, we've got to be born again. That's the affections and the lust thereof must be crucified. We must hold him in the highest of esteem. We must treasure the Lord more than anything else. We must then treasure him to the discipline of our life. We must give ourselves for his treasures and let his treasures become our treasures. We must look at the things we treasure and say, will they survive the survey of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord upon them? If they're not going to survive here, certainly they won't survive at the judgment bar. Then it does me good to do like Paul and said, put off. Put off those old things. Put off your treasures that are bringing you misery. You're getting your heart's desire, but you're getting leanness to your soul. It's not worth it. You're the boss in the family, but nobody's happy. Maybe it's time to humble yourself. Maybe it's time to get rid of your treasure and accept the treasures of the Lord. You're the boss, you're the king when it comes to people, flock, but you're always, nobody trusts you, you distrust. Maybe it's time to put away what you value. People value money, and I know we got to have a little. Folks, people are miserable many times because they've treasured their money so highly, it's all they think about. And we know about money. Money is apt to get stolen. Somebody's apt to defraud us of money. But your treasure is so important, people have accumulated it and trying to accumulate it more. They don't make friends easy. They anger people. Their reputation kind of sometimes goes away. But they got their money. Is it worth it? I think not. Good friends, a good name is rather to be had than much silver. Treasure a good name. Treasure integrity. Treasure your family. Treasure the heaven God has called us to go to. Treasure the cross. Treasure the value of the sacrifice that Jesus paid for us. Treasure that above these other things that some of them are not wrong, but they're not to stand in the way of a supreme treasure in our life. Over in Acts, the 19th chapter. Well, let me go back here to Colossians 3 and 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Knowledge. Understanding of who Christ is and understanding of what he expects. The 19th chapter of Acts now, for a moment. Maybe this is in Ephesus, I think. The conversion went forth. Men were born again. 19 and 19 of Acts. Many of them also which used curious arts or magic, I believe, here, brought their books together and burned them before all men. Can you see this accumulation? They've been born again. And they said, we're going to get rid of our curious arts because it's contrary to what the Lord values. And they burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, I didn't convert this, so I don't know how much that is. Obviously, because it's noted here, it's a lot. In an economy probably that valued money and books, and yet they took those things that they once considered a treasure, and after they were born from above, they burned them. I'm thinking about us. Are there some things in our life that we have treasured to the hurt of our soul, to the hurt of our family, to the hurt of the work of God, to the work of our own happiness? Have we followed a treasure that's erred? And we are erred in following after my opinion, my ideas, my thinking, what other, etc., etc., my feelings, my emotions, my attitudes, my doctrines. Have I heaped up something that will not stand the scrutiny of the Lord? And do I need to take them and place them on the altar, if you will? He said, our God is a consuming fire. He will take those things that we have treasured, and we have treasured them to our own hurt. We have treasured them, and we've protected them, and we've defended them, and we've excused them. And well, can we see today that these people, they found something better. They found a greater treasure, and they started heaping their books up, those old curious arts, those old books on magic and the occult. And folks, that could be anything. We're talking here about what they had. But it could be anything in our life that's contrary to the peace of God that passes understanding. And can we today, if we have them, place them on the altar? Our God is a consuming fire. And you know what I feel? That 50,000 pieces of silver seemed as nothing for the price of salvation and the treasure that they have obtained in their hearts. And listen to this next verse. And mightily grew the word of God, and it prevailed. That's important. When you and I begin to divest ourselves of our treasures and start putting on the treasures of righteousness and holiness and purity, God begins to be able then even more to pour out His blessings on us, on me, upon you, or upon us collectively. To get the focus off of us, or me, or you, and place it on God. Lord, what do you treasure? These old curious arts? I have counted on them, and I've got a lot of money tied up in their books. But you've come along and told me it's a sin and it's wrong. I've been born from above. I'm following Jesus. Take my books. They're nothing anymore. They're a stumbling block to me. If my ways and my treasures have become a stumbling block to me, I think it's time I need to get rid of them things and follow the Lord. May the Lord help us to understand this morning. The songwriter said, and I hope I quoted this right, "Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow until all on the altar is laid." You know, sometimes we might just be following the Lord just a little bit below our birthright because we place a treasure in our life and it has a governing effect and it makes us seemingly happy in the flesh but empty in our soul. Are empty in our relationships. Something to think about this morning. For this cause, that phrase, "for this cause," is mentioned 24 times in the New Testament. And this is what it denotes in various places. "For this cause" denotes a cause greater than. Lord, help us this morning. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That joy set before him was you, and it was me. It was saved men and women, the establishment of the church, kingdom of God. For the joy that was set before him, he didn't use that "for this cause" right there, but it's understood here. For this cause, for the treasure of the joy that is set before me, I'm going to lay aside this veil of flesh for the joy that is set before me. It denotes a cause greater than. It also, when it's quoted sometimes, means it's in recognition of a greater authority for this cause. For God said it. For God requires it. For there's an authority greater than my authority. It also denotes, for this cause, the consequences of it. Folks, there's consequences to living to the flesh. There's consequences to living to the Spirit. We need to weigh them out and see which one we want. And for this cause, the cause of eternal life and the consequences of serving God, I give up these things that I have treasured to my own hurt, to my own unhappiness, to my family's unhappiness, to the displeasure of God in my life. It also denotes a responsibility to one's own self. Think about it. My soul, your soul. David said it this way for us to understand it. It's continually in my hands. For this cause, I'm going to listen to the Lord. Because my soul is in my hands, I've got to listen and follow after and lay my treasures up in heaven. For this cause, for this reason, I'm going to do that. So may the Lord help us today. Treasures. Sometimes we defend them. Sometimes we excuse them. Sometimes we don't realize how much power they have in our life. But treasures govern our hearts. And our hearts are going to go give an account to God. You pray for me.